in the second week of a sermon series called Relationship Goals. Whether you are married or not, it doesn't matter. God's word is true, and there are many things that we can learn from his word, and his word tells us a lot about relationships. And last week we talked about being Christ-centered. And Christ is the ultimate center of life, and when we put him first, our relationships actually do better. I can attest for this because I've experienced it in my life when I put Christ first. And so last week we talked about that, and I gave you one practical thing to do to make Christ center in your life, and that was to pray with your spouse or pray with someone who you are friends with or close to spend the time to pray unceasingly, to pray all the time, to not cease from praying together. And when you pray, things happen. And so this week, we're going to talk about mission driven. Some of you like that word driven, and some of you like that word motivation. So you can choose. But the title this morning is Mission Driven. And in the 90s, there was this movie called Say Anything. And maybe you've seen it. It's kind of those classic movies for those in the 80s, 90s. The actor John Cusack played an average guy that decided that he was going to ask this popular rich girl out. And so he asked her out, and to his surprise, she said yes. And they fell in love with each other. And so she decided that she was going to introduce him to her father. Well, that was the moment where the father asked the painful, awkward question. What do you want to do with your life? And this is what he said. The young man cautiously answered him with an answer that didn't fulfill the father's desires. He says, I thought about this quite a bit, sir, and I would have to say, considering what's waiting out there for me, I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, or process anything as a career. I don't want to sell anything bought or processed, or buy anything sold or processed, or process anything bought or processed, or repair anything sold, bought, or processed as a career. I don't want to do that, so my father's in the Army. He wants me to join, but I can't work for that corporation. So what I've been doing lately is kickboxing, which is a sport, but I think it's a good future as far as a career longevity. I don't know. I can't figure it out tonight, so I'm just going to hang out with your daughter. Not the answer that the father was wanting to hear. No goal, no vision, just existing and kickboxing, which is kind of fun, but I don't know if you can do that as a career. It's kind of interesting. And so we're going to talk about mission-driven. And so we're going to dive into this mission with three questions in mind. Whose mission are we on? Whose mission are we on? Who is with us on that mission? And are we united? So whose mission are we on? And then who is with us on that mission? And are we united? When I started dating Susan and began a relationship with her, I met her family in November 1993, and I had a story told me about one of her brothers. And one of her brothers had this awesome planned out wedding proposal. Now, I got to see the video of this while we were dating, and this is what he had in his proposal. He had a horse. He was dressed up as a knight in shining armor. He had roses, a ring, a ladder, and a second story window. He had a crowd that was anticipating a kiss. Now, I looked at that video and I realized I was up against a lot. No pressure. There was no way I could do better than that. However, I was on a mission from God to marry this lady named Susan Corley. She was a senior. I was a sophomore. I knew I was out of her league, so I prayed harder. No, actually, I tried. I was driven, you know, and I actually probably asked this question. What was the worst that could happen? She could just laugh at me, right? You know. Anyway, for some reason, I went looking, asking around, asking all the seniors if she had a boyfriend. And so I found out she had a boyfriend at the time. And for some reason, that just spurred me on even more. And so I pursued her. And so it was December, and the finals, for our finals, we were studying. I was studying. She was just bored because she was a senior and I was a sophomore. And so we go down to this creek, and I had this elaborate plan, not really. But I had this plan to take her to the top of the world with some roses and a consent from her father to ask her to marry me. Well, that didn't happen. So we're at this creek, and I have this brilliant idea to ask her to marry me at that very moment, because I was on a mission. I wanted to ask her before she left for Christmas to be with her family so she could have this time to consider if she wanted to choose me or not. So anyway, my mission, should I choose to accept, was to marry Susan Corley. Oh, by the way, she said yes. So we married a year later, and on December 17, 1994, we had this great December wedding. And since then, we've had four awesome kids, one grandson, two dogs, one cat, one fish. We've had more fish, but one fish, one turtle, and I'm just telling you, because in Genesis, God commands us to be fruitful and multiply. So I'm just doing my part and being obedient to the Lord, right? So mission driven. I think when guys get married or pursue getting married, they have no clue. I don't think men have this idea in their mind what it looks like. They just see this beautiful girl. They want to have a relationship with them. They like the friendship and the relationship. They think that she's the lady's smart. They love talking with her. They have a good friendship. But I'm not sure there's a lot of thought in goals and missions for the guy. Where do you want to be in 5 to 10 years? Maybe they think about kids or a job, right? But not a lot of conversation or vision casting. However, a lady, as I understand it, they have this elaborate plan in their mind of a wedding, of how many kids they're going to have, of what the husband's going to look like, and what the house is going to look like, and all the decorations on the walls, and things like that. Are you with me, ladies? There's this picture, there's this vision, there's this mission driven direction. And so the guy is a little behind in that. But most of the time, the two people want to get married because they're just in love with each other, right? And so they don't realize how much work it will take to make a marriage successful. Warning, this sermon will have a little bit of need for motivation and work. Because being on mission takes work. Now, I've done some premarital counseling, and I've had a few different people tell me some different reasons why they want to get married. I've had a couple come to me, and I typically ask the question, why do you want to get married? And I've had the answer, well, we just love each other. And now that's an okay statement, but there's got to be more than that, right? I've also had a couple who were in their 70s, and they came to me and they wanted to get married before the end of the year because they wanted a tax write-off. Okay? So there's just, you know, a little bit. So moving on. The foundation of a godly marriage is not happiness or warm fuzziness or that love feeling. What the foundation of a marriage is this thing called unity. It is a commitment to one another to be on mission together. Now, if you're not married, there is still a mission. There, and we'll talk about that in a minute. God has a mission. And he wants you to be on mission, not alone, but together with others. So you can apply this to any relationship in the body of Christ. And so happiness may be a byproduct of a, it's not the goal of marriage or relationships. Okay? It could be the byproduct of it, of a marriage or relationships that are together, unified. So, love is a commitment. It's better to be together than alone. Let me tell you, let me put up this on the screen, Genesis, how God started this whole thing. He says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And then he said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. So fill the earth and subdue it. First thing God said to man and woman, here's your mission. Be fruitful, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over the animals and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. Now the last thing that Jesus said was very similar. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey me. And so the last thing Jesus said to his disciples was, here's your mission. Be fruitful, multiply, increase, fill the earth, subdue it, which means conquer. Now, the conquer in Genesis and the conquer that Jesus talks about is a little different. The conquer is by love. God wants us to conquer evil by love. And to rule over the earth as in his kingdom rules. And so, again, Matthew 28:19-20 says, go into all the world and make disciples and teach them to obey, and he will be with us. And so in order to accomplish God's mission, you will need to do it with other people. God never intended for us to do his mission alone. It's not like Tom Cruise. In fact, Tom Cruise has a team, does he not? In Mission Impossible, right? He has a team. People, we are here together to be in relationship, and he has a mission, and that mission is to disciple and love and teach and tell others about Jesus and do his mission. And so you are here to be on mission, to be united together. In Genesis, talks specifically in Genesis 2:24 about husband and wife, but this is just it could be any relationship. When you're in a friendship, a relationship, you can be unified. And so in verse 24 it says, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Now guys, young men think, oh, this is great, this is just about sex, right? No, this is not. This is about unified physically, emotionally, spiritually, being one on the same page. And so God is talking about being unified together on the same page. Now, here's the thing. We live in a broken world. And in this broken world, God wants to unify the brokenness. He wants to unify the division. But what God seeks to unite, the devil schemes to divide. We all know this scene in Genesis where Adam and Eve, they were in a unified relationship. They were happy. They were fulfilled. They were blessed. They were content. They were in paradise with no shame, walking around, hanging out with God. But there was an enemy that came to kill, steal, and destroy. And the serpent decided to disrupt the relationship with God, decided to distract them from their mission and destroy their unity. Psst, Eve, psst, come here. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. God enters into the scene and asks them, have you eaten the tree that I have commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So Adam blamed God and Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on, right? Funny, maybe he did have legs. Dad joke, right? In the beginning, God united. The devil's scheme is to divide. We know this because we've had division in our lives. We've had disunity in our relationships, right? We've had division. We've had frustration. And we've had relationships where we've been on a different page, going different directions, like two ships in the night. Missing each other. And so in Scripture, God talks about how we can be unified, how we can be together on the same page. And God's vision or God's law and God's word is important to have. And if we don't have it in our lives, if we don't have direction from Him in our lives, then it says in the King James Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no direction from God, we spiritually perish. And so in another translation, it says the same passage, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no understanding of the word of the Lord, the people do whatever they want to do. But happy is he who keeps the law, keeps God's law in mind, his direction, his wisdom. Another verse that God gives us is in Amos 3:3. It says that if you're going in a direction, don't both people have to agree on that direction? Do two people walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Basically, if you're going together, you have an agreed direction. You have an agreed goal. And isn't it better to do things together? I mean, Ecclesiastes, Solomon says this in Ecclesiastes 4. He says in verse 9 through 12, he says, two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other. But pity the anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lies down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This morning I got up and I checked the fire and it was not hot anymore in our house. And I opened the door thinking that all the wood was gone. But what was in there was two pieces of wood that had stopped burning because they had been separated. They were on both sides. One piece was over here smothered, and the other piece was smothering, and all the stuff in between had burned away. So what did I do? I took the two pieces and I put them back together, and I had a fire within 2 minutes. Hot fire. You see, we can't do God's mission alone. And He invented this whole idea of marriage. He invented this whole idea of relationships so that we would do things in His kingdom, His mission, together. It's the same thing that I talked about a few months ago about in the fall. I talked about it's better to do things together. As the church, we are together. And sometimes in relationships, we have to resynchronize. We have to, like the pieces of wood, we have to, oh, they're not burning. We need to put those back together. We need to resynchronize in our relationships. We have to come back together and ask the question, how do we work together towards God's mission? Here's God's mission. Jesus says, go make disciples, baptize and tell them about Jesus, teaching them to obey. Same thing is in the church, in your relationships, and the same thing is in your marriages. How do we get back on the same page? Asking those young people, what's marriage all about? I don't know. I'm just in love. Right? No, it's a mission. It's a commitment to be unified with a mission. See, one of the greatest tragedies of our relationships in our lives, in marriage or whatever, is to be together and not unified. What happens is when we're not unified, the opposite is division, is strife, is difficulty. One of the great couples in the Bible is Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila is the man's name, by the way. If you didn't know, if you never heard of that word, that name. But Priscilla and Aquila are a great couple, and I'll just give you one verse in Romans 16 that gives you a perspective of what they did together. Now, they were about 6 different times in the Bible they're mentioned. 3 of the times, half of the time, or more than half of the time, Priscilla is mentioned first, which probably means that she was more involved. But that's not the point today. But the point is that they were together, working together. So Romans 16, 3 through 5, give my greetings, Paul is talking here, to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Jesus Christ. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I am thankful to them, and so are the Gentile churches. Also, give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. So obviously, they were doing ministry together. They have a life group in their home. They're telling people about Jesus. They're risking their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're doing something together with the same mission in mind. And so they were Christ-centered. They were motivated on this mission. And they supported Paul and his ministry. They risked their lives and all that. And so when we think about a relationship, when we think about our marriages, when we think about other people, and we have this mission in mind, Proverbs 34 says this, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now, that's not just today when we're singing, we're just singing a song and that's all it is, right? What does worshiping the Lord mean? Glorifying the Lord mean? That means everything we do for Him. Everything we do for His glory. Everything we do for His kingdom, right? So it's not just 1 hour on Sunday, right? It's every moment of all our days ahead, worshiping Him with our lives together. And so God's mission is to expand His kingdom, to go increase and multiply and fill the earth, right? Acts 2:44 says this, they devoted themselves, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, one of the good things, one of the easy things about Susan and I is we had a lot in common when we met. But it doesn't always stay that way, and we have different interests now in our lives. But the thing is, do we support each other? Are we involved in each other's lives? Are we on the same page? And we have to work at that. Just like each and every one of you have to work at those things. To resynchronize and to be unified and to be on the same page. Seeking God as individuals is a requirement of having Christ-centered relationship together. Seeking God. So instead of my desires, instead of Susan's desires, we seek God's desire for our lives. We come to him and ask him, okay, what do you want us to do today? What do you want us to do six months from now? How do you want us to raise these kids? How do we serve our community? All these questions we ask God all the time. If any of you have read theologians, this is my favorite. This guy, A.W. Tozer. He's a Christian Missionary Alliance background. And he just has great things to say. But A.W. Tozer gave a great example of this. He says, has it ever occurred to you? This is actually up there. Yeah. Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all turned or tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are in one accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So putting Christ first, like we talked about last week, is the first step. And then focusing on his mission, God's mission. What is it that he has in store for you as a couple? What does he have in store for you in the church to focus on as he directs you to focus on with somebody else, with other people? And what is his mission for you? Two things unite, a common enemy and a common mission. See, next week we're going to talk about the enemy. We're going to say, like, kick him in the tail, right? And we're going to talk about fighting the enemy in Jesus' name. And so when there's a common enemy, that can unite people. When there's a common mission, that unites people. And so asking the question, what do you love? What do you hate? What do you love together? What does God love? And what do you love? And what do you hate? And what does God hate? I mean, perhaps you love kids and you hate broken families. And so you could serve the Lord by fostering kids or serving in our children's ministry. Do you love financial freedom and hate debt? You could serve in a financial peace ministry. What do you love? Do you love healthy marriages and hate divorce? You could mentor other married couples because we desperately need that. What do you love? Do you love cooking? You could make meals and because you hate that people feel alone. And we have a lot of that in this day and age, don't we? People are alone. And so you could serve together. I love this story where there's these two ladies that had this mission. I don't remember where it was, but they just decided that they were going to be those secret mission ladies, and they were going to go and find out and listen to the rumors and listen who's struggling in their community. And so they would just do the doorbell ringing and drop off food at the doorstep. And they did it for like 20, 30 years. Nobody found out who they were. I mean, they eventually did, but you could do things like that. What do you love? Maybe you're good at making money and you want to be generous with that. And you can do that with other people. And so raising godly kids, raising godly grandkids, teaching kids at church, this mission that God has, it's unlike the John Cusack analogy that I gave you. What do you want to do with your life? I don't know. And are you too old to do anything? No, you're not. You listen to Caleb, right? They were talking about a 90-year-old still doing ministry at 90. You guys are all under 90 in this room. Right? I'm telling you. Okay, so God's mission. Where are you serving together? Where are you serving the Lord together? What can you do? Christ-centered, motivated by his mission. I'll give you a couple more verses, then we'll close. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness and patience. These are things that God wants us to be in whatever we do for him, to be kind and compassionate. See, Paul reminded the church in Colossians that they were to live in a way that glorified God. Ultimately, what they specifically did on a day-to-day basis was not as important as how they did it. They were to do their work with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, to be forgiving, and above all, to love. To do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Their work wasn't to be separate from Christ-like living. So what we do matters, but how we do it and why and who we do it for matters more. And so each day we can choose to work for our own purposes, my own desires, or we can choose to work for his kingdom and his desires and his purposes. And I could tell you the first one has a dead end to it. When we do our own thing, when we are doing our own desires, there's a dead end. It doesn't continue into eternity. But when we do God's purposes and his kingdom and his mission, that lasts for eternity. To infinity and beyond, right? Can I pray? Let me pray for you and for me. Lord, thank you for your mission that you started all the way back into the Garden of Eden. You gave us this beautiful creation, and it was awesome. It was a joyful, and yet it got broken, and it is in disintegration right now. And we pray that as Jesus came and he gave the solution to this brokenness, Lord, I pray that you would help us to get on the same page with you in your mission. May we get on the same page with those that are walking with us towards the kingdom of God. And may we not allow division anymore. May we be on the same mission together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.